You are now listening to Productivity Boss Moves with Robert Price. For more, visit robertprice.co.
Welcome to Productivity Boss Moves. This is your host, Productivity Coach Robert Price, and I am here today with another amazing guest for you. I'm here with Tara Katina, and she is an emotional health coach. And let me just tell you, I've had an opportunity to just be around Tara for some time now. Maybe over a year or so now, and just her stability, her foundation has been noticeable, has been strong even through some really kind of challenging times in her life. And so, you know, she's got this emotional health thing down, at least from the looks of it. You know, I don't know what's going on, you know, when the door is closed, but she's always given really helpful advice and tips and things like that as it relates to emotional health. So I, you know, just looking at this pandemic once again and looking at this time, it's almost like the reason why I'm so locked in on this right now is because it's almost like we got through several months of the pandemic. And people had in their mind the whole time that, all right, once we're done with this couple months, boom, we'll go right back to normal. But now that things aren't going just so back to normal, you know, people are having to get their emotions in check for this long road, this way longer road ahead of us than we previously anticipated. I think that it was appropriate to bring Tara on for this moment and to have her share some things to help people process through. And you might be saying, hey, this is a productivity podcast, not an emotional health podcast. However, when your energy, your emotional energy is a part of your energy, when that is out of whack, you know, it's really difficult to be productive. Because you're just all over the place and you can't, it's harder for you to focus. So I think that, you know, she shared some principles that have been really pertinent to, you know, getting that energy under control. So here we go. So Tara, introduce yourself to the people. Let us know, like, who are you and how did you, you know, kind of get into this thing called emotional health? Why is this topic so important to you?
Well, I'm so excited to be here. And for everybody, I just want to say, I'm just so happy that you are diving into this particular area. I am Tara Katina, your emotional health coach, and I help families with strategies and tools that help them live emotionally healthy lives. And so my story starts a long time ago. My story starts as a kid. As a kid, being a child of a single mother, being one of those children, I don't know if you guys ever heard of this, but a latchkey kid, meaning I came home alone sometimes because my mother worked, you know, two jobs. And so I was the person that had to be so responsible. And so going through that, and my mom being one of those single mothers that was like, when she got a better job, we moved to a better neighborhood. That was good. But what it left me with was being the new girl on the block everywhere I went. So being the new girl on the block everywhere I went, it caused some difficulties. The guys liked me, but the girls hated me.
Got it.
Yes.
Hey, so, wasn't that so true in school too, though? Whenever somebody new would come to school, it would be like, you know, because you've seen everybody that was there. So I just can relate to that. No.
Yes. And so if you think about my lifetime, I went to seven different schools. And so that happened a lot. So me being bullied was frequent, right? I was a quiet person with outsiders. With my family, they said I never stopped talking. But with outsiders, I'm an introvert. So I was not that talkative. So I was bullied a lot. So I went through a lot of challenges. And so back then, you never heard of emotional health, right? So I was that person that kept their feelings to themselves. I kept it to myself. My mom them didn't even know what was going on. So that was me trying to manage all those things through life, right? And so as I grew up, I went through more traumatic experiences. And then as an adult, the one that kind of tipped me over is I had a child at 18, and then I end up having a divorce. And so those things put me in a state of, what am I going to do with these emotions? And now I have kids that are military kids that are dealing with their emotions. Because guess what? The cycle is continuing. They are the new kid on the block. And I'm telling you, I just really started my search for how to help them. It was just so important to me how to help them. And then what happened? I went in the field of education. So then I got a classroom full of kids who don't know how to manage their emotions. And so that started my journey on seeking emotional health. And then, and that's where I started at.
Love it. Love it. So now do you primarily work with kids? You said families, like what's your focus now?
I'm gonna have to say families, because okay, to help the children, sometimes you got to help the adults.
Absolutely.
Helping the adults helps the children. It's intertwined. So it's families. And I'm enjoying it. I did primarily start with the kids, and I was focused on the kids, but I just realized you can't do one without the other sometimes. And so I had to focus on families.
Yeah, that's such an astute observation, because, you know, in reality, most of the things kids learn are caught versus taught. Right. So if they're just learning from you, but they're catching everything they're catching from their parents, then it's like your work is kind of null and void at that point. You know, I'm sure it's making an impact at the level that it is, but, you know, it's harder. But, you know, I want to throw it back to you in terms of, okay, I got that. I got your journey. And now, you know, the people that listen to this podcast are hungry for the to-dos. They're hungry for the, okay, how can I implement this to be better? So just, you know, what do you have for us right now during this time? It's like, you know, extroverts are going crazy because they want to be talking to people. Introverts seem like they were really happy being inside, but even some introverted people I know are kind of like, yeah, but I kind of want to get out a little bit too, you know? So just speak to that. What should we be, you know, doing to keep our emotions in check right now? I'll let you.
Well, let's first talk about emotional health. It is the process of being aware of your feelings and being able to process them and have healthy responses, right? And so when you're looking at people and their responses right now, I know that you can physically see some unhealthy responses right here, right now in the world, you know? And yes, some of it is because of the pandemic, because of the social unrest. It is, right? So I think the first thing we need to do is acknowledge that we're having feelings, right? Acknowledge that we're having some type of feelings. We probably have to put a name on it, but we have to have some acknowledgement. Because I told you that I was that person who kept their feelings to themselves, I'm gonna tell you, it just, it disrupted my world, because it made me unhealthy, right? Because I started keeping it in, my body started reacting to the things that was going on in my life, right? And then when you pile on so many emotions, I'm telling you, that volcano is going to erupt. And that was me. Like, you could be like, you drop the paper and my emotions would just be all over the place. And you'll probably be looking like, where did that come from? Well, it's probably like 3 weeks worth of stuff piled on on it instead of me addressing it. But we have to think about, sometimes we've been programmed, some of us, to get over it, right? To not take that so serious, right? To be seen and not heard as girls, right? So if we've been programmed to suppress what we're really feeling, and we haven't been taught to communicate those feelings. So the first thing I think we should do is to admit that we do have feelings.
I love that. And I want to dig into that a little bit more, because I do believe like this acknowledgement is so powerful when we're able to be specific about what it is. So you mentioned there's a number of emotions that we may be facing right now. Are you able to name some of those emotions? Because, you know, maybe I'm listening and I don't know what I'm feeling, right? But if you name something, you know, you name some things, maybe I'm able to make a connection with something that you name that could help me, you know, define what that is and then dive deeper into where that's coming from. So
true. I think that's part of getting emotional healthy, because you have to have some emotional intelligence. And so when I'm thinking about the things that we're feeling disappointment, we're feeling fear, we're feeling irritation, right? We're feeling uncertainty, right? We're feeling sadness because people are losing people. We're feeling, some of us, like you say, the extroverts are feeling lonely, right? The introverts are feeling probably stressed because we had all this time to be thinking, you know, in our head. So we're feeling all these different emotions, but guess what? Before this pandemic, we may have been feeling a couple of emotions at a time. Right now, in a day's time, we may go through all of those that I just mentioned, plus some different ones. And so all this anger and disappointment, this sadness, this loneliness piled on top of each other, what are we doing with it? What are we going to do with those feelings, and how are we going to address it? Which leads me to my next point, is we do have to do a feeling check-in, because if not, I do a feelings check-in throughout the day, and I have to check myself. What am I feeling right now? Am I feeling sadness? Okay, let me look at this. How do I want to express that sadness? Do I want to draw? Do I want to journal? Do I need a conversation with somebody, right? Do I need to run it off? You know what I mean? Then I have to decide, this sadness that I'm feeling, I have to choose, am I going to keep it, or am I going to reverse this feeling? You know what I mean? We have to choose that. Now, I will say, this is not easy. This takes some time. You may need a coach to help you, right? And you may need a counselor to help you. You don't have to do it alone.
Yeah, that's so good. And that is, and I know that's something that you talk about a lot, you know, because people do, you know, feel like they need to be able to do it alone, or else there's something wrong with them. They should be able to figure this out. And so I love that you expressed that point, because you talked about kind of going through that experience of, you know, getting some help, and how that helped you process through. So no, that's, I don't want people to miss that point, right? Like whatever you're going to share here, the major boss move in that whole scenario is actually getting somebody.
That's right.
To help. Yeah. So that's really good. That's right.
We're not alone. So, and my next point, I keep leading in, right? Is community matters. Your community matters with your emotional health. You have to think about all the things, all the traumatic things that we go through in life, all the challenges we face, we need, I always say we need wise counsel. We need wise counsel, and then we need people to love on us through these things, right? We can't escape that we need community. We were not created. I'm just going to have to say that. We were not created to be alone, and so we need community. It's the reason why it's not just you. It's the other person. It's the person next to you. I would advise getting people of like mind, but I say you need a community. So build your community. Let your community in. Do not do this alone. Tell them that you're going through. You know what I mean? I have my friends that I have around me that I'll tell them right now. They can call me or whatever, and I'll say, listen, I'm triggered today. You know what I mean? And they'll know what to do. And then when they tell me, hey, this was a challenging day, I'll know what to feed into them. So, but if your community does not know, they don't know that you need that olive branch of help. They don't know that you need it. They don't know that you need encouragement today. They don't know that you just need love today. I was thinking about the pandemic, and I am my love language is touch, right? So I was struggling at the beginning.
Oh, you ain't getting no love right now.
No love right now. Man. So trust me when I say, the couple of people that's, you know, really close in my circle that we're together, it's like, can I get just one more hug? Because I know I'm not going to get it outside of this house. You know what I'm saying? So it's a struggle. But if nobody knows that about me, if I didn't share it, they wouldn't know how to help me or how to help meet that need that I have to be touchy-feely, to be huggy with people.
So help me out with that. Like, what are some of the things that they've done to help you, you know, through that?
Well, because like I said, I'm only touchy-feely with the people that's close to me. So it's really like my mom and my daughter. They're the only two. But I'm going to tell you, it's far behind because I'm around kids all day. I don't be with my mom every day. Right. And so I just really had to put that to the side and say, yes, I'm feeling, you know, that lack of touch, you know what I mean? But it's for my safety. So I have to, you know, have to tell that to myself. It's for my safety right now. Right. And so it's just something I have to process. And it's okay. But like I said, because I'm where I am emotionally, right, I can do that. Some people cannot do that. So they have to find other ways to meet the need or pump up their other love language. My other love language is acts of service. Yours may be, gifts. Yours may be, words of speech, I think it is, words of affirmation. Yeah. And so
I don't want to make an assumption that everybody knows what you're talking about.
I mean, I'm sorry. The five love languages. Yeah,
is what by Gary Chapman.
Gary Chapman. Yes.
Yeah. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. I think I've, you know, maybe talked about that particular assessment on the podcast previously, but I'll definitely drop that in the chat. Yeah, I don't want to assume people know which, you know, where you're coming from.
Yes. So
I thought you were about to shoot out this magic touch bullet, because that's my, you know, that's my number one, right? The touch, but you know. Cause I'm like that. I'm like, I'm a hugger. I'm a high fiver. Let's do it, you know, but right now you're absolutely right.
Look, you got to tell your family, they got to pump it up for you. Yeah. They got to pump it up for you.
Yeah.
That's the only source that you have. They got to pump it up. They got to help you.
Hey, let me tell you who I'm taking advantage of in this season. It's my son.
Yes.
You know, he's four, but so he always wants to cuddle. You want to play games with you. You want to do stuff. So I'm like eating that up because that's the major source of touch.
Yes.
You know, yes. You know, that you can always count on. Right. Like in marriage, it could be a good day. It could be you know, but, you know, my son, you know, he's pretty consistent. On that, so
very consistent. Trust me, it's been tough to stop my kids from hugging me, because that's what they want to do right away.
I love it. So you gave us some really simple practical stuff to do. Now are those the three things you want us to focus on? Did you come with with more.
With a list.
You came with a list. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, we might not be able to do the whole list. You know where we are, because hey, what I don't want is people to feel overwhelmed.
Right.
By now, you're telling me I got to deal with this emotional health, but then you just gave me a whole list that I may be, you know, a little overwhelmed by. Is it, how many things is on the list? Could we break it up? Oh, we got 10. All right. So I'm a symmetrical guy. We got to do, let's do two more and let's wrap it up. And then I'm going to have you back for the other five. Does that sound like a plan?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Okay, cool.
Okay. And number four is one of my big things is I schedule joy. Part of emotional health and being happy, I schedule joy. That means when I'm filling out my plan for the day, I have joy in there. So what my joy consists of is like yesterday, my joy was going out, spending time with my mom. Sometimes it's a moment of laughter because I love to laugh. So I may schedule some time that I'm going to look at something that makes me laugh. Having a music break throughout the day, that's something that's joyful for me. So you decide what your joy is, what brings you that big energy, that big joy. So I schedule it because we could go the whole day with the to-do list, but it's not a whole day of what I want to do list, right? So at least schedule one thing in there that gives you joy. So that's a big thing for me. I don't go a day but I haven't a scheduled joy time.
Yeah, I love that because I just thought about, you know, just my lifestyle, and joy is a necessity and for me to be productive, because like I know when I get in the zone, it's usually because there's some sort of music or some sort of you know, instrumental stuff that I'm listening to that has me there, right? Because it's occupying this feel-good part of my mind that I can lock in on the task and not feel like it's work as much as, you know, it is. So now that's really important. Yeah, so what's number five?
And number five is learn about yourself. We have to learn about ourselves, learn about our challenges, right? Self, right? And learn about our champion self. And so the way I did that is that I did have to take a DISC assessment. I got a coach and I went to counseling because I wanted to learn about myself and learn about the things that put me in an unhealthy state. Right? And the things that help put me in a healthy state. So learn about yourself is one of the big things that I say for number five. It helped me to regulate my emotions and it just helped me to see things coming. So I knew that this would require a response, but sometimes our responses that are unhealthy to tame them, I'm going to say, you need to understand what would trigger you. So learn about yourself is my number five, and it's a big thing that you have to do some investigation and some research about. So we research everything on the net and do this and do that. Research yourself.
That's a bar right there, right? Because we tend to overlook ourselves because it's like you know, we know ourselves and we don't gotta research us. But there's some things going on. I would challenge that thinking to say that there's some things going on inside you that you may not be in tune with.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, like you said, taking the DISC assessment or getting a coach, you know, having somebody, you know, we can look in the front window of our car and in the rear view, but there's something called blind spots that, you know, we can see from both, but there's something called blind spots that coaches help to reveal, and assessments like you talked about help to reveal. 'Cause I had a pastor a long time ago. He said the best thing about you is also the worst thing about you. And so the assessments help to lay out that, right? If you're if you're this person that this joyful, happy person, you make everybody feel good in the room, your attention to detail may be lacking, right? And then vice versa. Hey, I'm not the most joyful person, but my strength is that I have the details locked down. So maybe me and this life of the party person need to team up so we can have a master, you know, plan going on. But no, that's really good. So this has been great stuff. I can't wait to hear the next five things. So definitely want to have you back for next week. Definitely want to have you back for next week and cover the rest of those. But for this week, you know, as you listen to the podcast, every week we have a productivity boss move of the week. And so my question for you is what is that boss move for us this week, Tara? What do we do?
I think my top boss move would be to have a routine that fosters emotional healthy habits. You know what I mean? So have a routine. You got to have a daily routine. What is it that you're doing in the morning that wakes you up, that's feeding you for the day? What is it that you're doing to boost up your energy and your happiness, right? What is it that you're doing that is making you want to move forward in your life and not be stuck in the challenge that you may be facing? What is that thing? So how are you going to push that needle on? Is to have a routine. So I would say have a routine. Whatever those things, like I said, about the scheduling joy, what are you doing in the morning that sets your day up for you to be ready for the day and ready for the challenges, right? Ready for the champions and the challenges. What is
Yeah, so help me and help the listeners with what is your, you know, I know your routine, you kind of mentioned several things in there that you do. What is like one thing that you feel like, man, this is like the mother of my routine? Like this has to happen.
Mine would be my affirmations. I not only have affirmations, I write them and record them, and I listen to them more than once a day. So in the morning, while I'm fixing my breakfast, which is one of my have-to-haves, I listen to my affirmations. I listen to them in the afternoon, and often I listen to them in the evening. So my affirmations tell me what are my desires, what are my dreams, and what are my determinations of my life. And so I listen to them so that I could get them in my spirit, because affirmations become beliefs and then they are manifested. So that's what I would say. I listen to my affirmations.
Got it. So now do you have those affirmations on your heart, or is that something that you're reading? What is that?
I listen to them to get them, because I change them sometimes.
Okay.
So I do listen to them to get them there. You know what I mean? Okay. Like one of the things I am starting back writing. And so one of my affirmations, I love writing because it's going to leave a legacy for my grandchildren. And so I have to listen to that to let me know the push sometimes when I don't want to do those things. You know what I mean? But it's my determination. So I need to get it in my spirit. I need to get it in me. And so that's why I listen to it. So whatever those things are that are your dreams and your determinations, you need to write them down and record them.
Yeah, I love that, because I've never done that, right? So I'm going to try that this week, recording my affirmations. I usually just say it kind of in the mirror, but recording it and then listening to it. How many times? It's just like...
I would say three times. You could do it twice, more than once, definitely. But definitely, I would listen to them twice a day.
Okay.
More than once.
So like lunch and dinner time.
Yeah.
Just do it with your lunch and dinner.
Just do it with your lunch and dinner.
I love it. Keep it simple. All right. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, and we will have you back next week to finish the list of 10. But hold on, once there's a huge truck ride by, so I don't know if you guys pick that up. I'm outside the elements, so you might hear a little bit of noise. But everybody, remember, it's not enough to dream. You must do something about it. I'm Robert Price, your productivity coach, helping you focus on what matters most. Everybody, have a productive week.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Productivity Boss Moves. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or just want to say hello, visit robertprice.co. If you haven't done so already, please take a minute and leave a quick rating and review of the show on Apple Podcasts or any other platform you listen to.